In less than 15 years, the Global Down Syndrome Foundation has become a worldwide leader in research to extend the lives of people living with Down syndrome. You'll hear from Michelle C. Whitten how her and her family decided they wanted to make a difference and have taken an incredible, difficult, change-making journey that shows no signs of stopping on this episode of Making Our World Better.
Welcome to the Making Our World Better podcast, where you will find motivation and encouragement through lively conversations with inspirational people who every day are making our world a better place. Now, here's your host, Jay Clark.
Welcome to the podcast. I am Jay Clark, and what an honor it is to have a conversation with the amazing Michelle C. Whitten, President and CEO and co-founder of Global Down Syndrome Foundation, the largest nonprofit in the U.S. working to save lives and dramatically improve health outcomes for people with Down syndrome. Michelle co-founded Global in 2009 after giving birth to her daughter, Sophia, who happens to have Down syndrome. Global has donated more than $32 million and counting to establish the Linda Cernik Institute for Down Syndrome, the Down Syndrome Research Institute that supports more than 400 scientists and 2,000 patients with Down syndrome across 28 states and 10 countries. Michelle has received more awards than you can imagine for her Down syndrome work over the past decade, including 17 Icon Awards, ARC Thrift Store's inaugural Distinguished Disability Leadership Award, and the Triumphant Woman Award from the Excelsior Youth Center, just to name a few. She's been asked to speak at numerous conventions on Down syndrome advocacy, including the United Nations headquarters and the Mission of the Holy See. I've heard of both of those. Prior to her career in the nonprofit sector, Michelle was a cable TV pioneer working for Liberty Media Corporation and Stars Encore. She holds a Master of Arts degree and a graduate certificate in business administration from Harvard University and graduated magna cum laude with a Bachelor of Arts degree from Tufts University. To make us all feel like the biggest slackers ever, Michelle and her husband, Tom, have two children, Sophia and Patrick, and I cannot wait to get into all of this. Michelle, thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you, Jay. That was an embarrassing introduction. I don't know what I have to say.
I could go on and on. So impressive. But I'd love to start by just kind of sharing the mission of the Global Down Syndrome Foundation and how you built it from an idea to an organization that is literally, pardon the pun, having a global impact.
Thank you so much, Jay. Yeah, you know, with most of these things, it started personally, right? I got pregnant. I had an amnio. I learned that my baby would have Down syndrome. And then I went down this weird vortex of misinformation. And I felt kind of like doctor coercion. And it was just kind of a nightmare. And I found myself shortly after Sophia was born in Bethesda with the head of the NIH at the time, Dr. Zerhouni. And he was saying, oh my goodness, Down syndrome is the least funded genetic condition by our National Institutes of Health. And if you do one thing, you should create an institute that focuses on research and medical care for Down syndrome. You know, that autism has it, Fragile X has it. All these other diseases and conditions have it, but Down syndrome doesn't. And that's kind of how it all started. But, you know, wow. I'm a little type A. So you know, we did a lot of research and we had a summit with a lot of scientists before we kind of jumped headfirst in. So that's kind of the genesis.
That's awesome. Well, it's the story of every great nonprofit, right? Somebody who's super passionate, sees a need, and decides to jump in. I love it. So I know you guys do a lot of advocacy work, especially in Washington, D.C. So can you share some of the exciting progress that you've made there?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, our mission is research and medical care. And like kind of put it another way, we often talk about our goal at Global, and it's to dramatically improve health outcomes and elongate life. So when Sophia was born, the lifespan was about 50. Today, it's about 60.
Oh,
but we
awesome.
Have a lot more. I know, like we're making progress,
yeah.
Right? In the 1980s, it was 28, right?
Wow.
And that's because, yeah, people don't remember, but in the 1980s, the majority of people with intellectual disabilities, including Down syndrome, were put in inhumane institutions and died tragic, really horrible abused deaths, right? But we still have a long way to go when you think about the average American, you know, living to well into their 70s to get people to the same place. So clearly my experience with Dr. Zerhouni at NIH really opened my eyes to the fact that our people couldn't reach their true potential or even like live healthy lives without research and medical care. And so we went about and created all those affiliates that you mentioned, Cernic, and now also the Alzheimer's and Cognition Center that's under the Cernic and Neurology at, you know, the Anschutz Medical Campus. And, you know, right now, if you look at it, the C Center for Down Syndrome at Children's Hospital is the largest pediatric center in the US and the second largest in the world. So we're closing in on 2,500 new patients. You can imagine with, you know, somewhere like 12 full-time equivalents and a daily medical center, we're able to treat these patients, you know, with the most excellent, best practices, up-to-date care. And then our research is just like amazing. We now have 200 plus research publications. None of this would be possible without the government, because like all our money is just a little, you know, drop in the bucket. But without the National Institutes of Health funding the research and medical care, we couldn't do much. And because of our advocacy, which really didn't exist before global, we moved from about 14 million in Down syndrome research when Sophia was born, and today, we'll look at the, they call it the fiscal year 2024, the estimate will be $144 million.
10 times multiple.
Yeah, yeah.
Amazing.
And then when you add cumulatively, you know, how much we estimated something like over the last 6 years, because again, there was a seminal thing that happened. You know, our people with Down syndrome are amazing, right? Mm-hmm. We had this guy, Frank Stevens, who's on our board, testify before Congress in 2017. Before then, we were not moving the needle on the NIH funding for Down syndrome research. We had two requests. One, it had to be trans NIH, so all 27 institutes should be looking at funding Down syndrome research, not just the National Institute of Child Health and Human Development. And if all the institutes were investing in Down syndrome research, then we could then increase it significantly. His research, his testimony, the 5-minute testimony, 200 million views today, Frank Stevens. I know. And got a standing ovation, never heard of before, in a congressional hearing. And just amazing. We also brought some amazing science to the table, Jay, that made the appropriators be, one, they were kind of upset that Down syndrome was so underfunded. And kind of almost, it felt very discriminatory. And then the second was we were bringing some great science from Dr. Espinosa that allows us to categorize Down syndrome as an immune system disorder. So from that hearing in 2017, they created this amazing project under the Office of the Director. So all now it's trans NIH, and it's called INCLUDE. It's a crazy acronym, so I'm not going to tell you what it means. But INCLUDE is the Down syndrome research project at NIH. And this is the mechanism that is changing our lives and really lifting all these wonderful scientists and medical care professionals towards our mission of elongating life and improving health outcomes.
That is so awesome. So, you know, that kind of naturally leads into, you know, talk about some of the progress you've made from a research standpoint. I mean, you know, elongating life is incredible, but there has to be a lot of stuff that's behind that from a research standpoint.
Yeah. I mean, it's weird. You know, you were at Adams Camp. We've dealt with our wonderful families and individuals with intellectual and developmental disabilities. You know, a lot of times we're so busy, you know, with our own lives, it's hard to see the forest through the trees type of thing. You know, we wanted to improve outcomes, health outcomes, and elongate life through research. How do you do that? Well, clinical trials, like you think about it, what we brought to the table was the clear fact that people with Down syndrome have a radically different disease spectrum. So they're really high up in things like Alzheimer's, unfortunately, and in autoimmune diseases like psoriatic arthritis and And then they're highly protected. It's incredibly rare for a person with Down syndrome to get a solid tumor, right? So you take that radically different disease spectrum and say, okay, wow, if we were researching and investing in this population, we can not only improve their lives, but 60% of Americans die from the diseases that they're really high up or down in. So it could also be a benefit to the typical population. And that's where we had the kind of eye of the needle. And that's where we knew that being late to the game and having no funding in Down syndrome research, the only benefit is that we're now, you know, we were and we are still now in this position where we've got great technology. We can do, you know, SOMRs and assays and proteomics and big omics and all that kind of stuff. So one of the things that it was actually Dr. Joaquin Espinosa, Larry Gold, Leslie Weinwein, and then the Nobel laureate Tom Cech, before we even got into it, we had them have a summit and say, like, is this tractable? And they were like, oh my gosh, is it not only tractable? There's so much low-hanging fruit. So by just drawing the blood of 200 people with Down syndrome, we discovered that Down syndrome is an immune system disorder.
Wow.
I know, huge. And so just not to get, you know, weird, and I'm not a scientist, but to put it in layman's terms, you know, we all have these immune system pathways in our body. One is called the interferon pathway, and it turns on when we're fighting infection and virus, and then it turns off when we're finished. And our big discovery is that with people with Down syndrome, it's on 24/7. It never shuts off. So it's taxing the immune system. It can help explain early aging, Alzheimer's, cognition, you know, solid tumors, you know, a lot of these things, but there's still a lot more work to do. And then from that, there are FDA-approved drugs that stabilize the immune system, stabilize the interferon pathway. And we are well into that clinical trial treating psoriatic arthritis and vitiligo and alopecia areata. And the results have been amazing.
Wow.
And that JAK inhibitor drug, that class of drugs that brings down interferon is now, we also discovered there's this terrible thing called regression disorder where somebody with Down syndrome, no matter what kind of spectrum of ability or capability they're on, can be prone to suddenly getting regression disorder and going back to almost an infantile state where they can't feed or dress themselves. And so we've tried the JAK inhibitor. Now we have a clinical trial through NIH funding, all these clinical trials so far from NIH, to test the JAK inhibitor in people with Down syndrome who have regression disorder. We have this very promising Alzheimer's drug that is not only looking promising in typical people, but now we have a five-year clinical trial. It's called Leukine. And it had, in typical people, it improved all the biomarkers and actually reversed the plaques and tangles in the brain. And then the fourth one, we have another Alzheimer's one. We're not the lead, but it's with this brilliant MD, PhD, Mike Raffi out of the Tech Institute. He's amazing. So we're part of that clinical trial. And then we just got the Anschutz Acceleration Initiative grant from the University of Colorado Anschutz Medical Campus. The JAK inhibitor is so promising, they want us to test it just on any child with Down syndrome to see if it improves health, cognition, growth, all sorts of things. So we're super busy, 200 publications in 6 years, and there's so much more. What we're finding about the metabolome, what we're finding about the growth hormone, I mean, it's, again, being late to the table, we've got some great technology tools, and the, you know, we're really accelerating advancement. And we're not the only ones. We, by making sure that the NIH is funding Down syndrome research, obviously we're not getting 100% of those funds. We've created global CERNIC, Alzheimer's Cognition Center, CEASE Center, and every single person with Down syndrome and their family member who have advocated with us. We have made this change together where there is now a renaissance for research and medical care.
So fantastic. So it's amazing to think, you know, you started this in 2009, which isn't even that long ago, to now you're talking about, you know, you're an expert in clinical trials and you're doing all this stuff. So this might be a tough question, kind of a Sophie's Choice question, but can you look at some of the things over the last few years that you're really the most proud of as far as what you guys have achieved?
Oh, sure. Yeah. I mean, you know, in addition to creating a medical center that's, you know, providing this excellent healthcare, and then the research that's ongoing and really actually having tangible outcomes, while we talk, not even like we often talk about in our lifetime, there was no medical care guidelines for adults with Down syndrome.
Wow.
And we just like, and the reason is obvious. Like they're usually about Alzheimer's or diabetes. It's about a disease. How do you do a whole human and then knowing that we've been starved of research? So how do you even have the evidence-based publications to then support the guidelines? It took us 5 years and over $1 million, but we did it. And we did it at such a high level. You know, we have this amazing woman, Bryn Gilero, who runs our research in medical care, who of course was then working with, who of course was then working with all of the heads of the adult medical care centers across the U.S. Those are our authors, right?
Wow.
And all their patients are our, you know, beloved contributors. And together we did it at such a high level that it got published in the Journal of American Medical Association.
Wow.
So, surprise news, Jay. Doctors don't always listen to patients and lay people, right? We love them, but they don't always listen to
right.
us. And so, and for good reason, you know, there's a lot going on. And so we knew that even though we're global and an advocacy organization, medical professionals won't come to our website,
right.
but they would go to the Journal of Medical, the Journal of American Medical Association. So we were lucky. We worked hard. The harder you work, the luckier you get. And we got it in there. It's peer reviewed. Like there was no guarantee that we would get it in there. And now we're working on the second edition, which is going to take us another 5 years. That's the thing. Like all of these things, like in 5 year cycles, you have to think beyond yourself.
Yeah.
Right. You know, it's, you know, 5 year cycles to do the work, 6 or 7 years, the 6th or 7th years you get it published. Right. And so now we only did 9 top only, like usually you just do 1 topic. We did 9 medical topics. Wow. Now we're adding 5 more, which includes like sleep apnea and solid tumors and leukemia and eye and vision. I had no idea before we started the eye and vision section that so many people with Down syndrome can go blind.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's like, and I meet a lot of, right? I mean, we meet a lot of people with Down syndrome in our lives, Jay.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, and I still don't know everything. I'm not even everything. I don't know enough. And so my life is full of, you know, kind of educable surprises that lead us in new directions in how we can, you know, kind of bridge care and really just love on our people with Down syndrome and make sure that they're healthy.
Well, and just making breakthrough after breakthrough, which is great to, because, you know, we stop and think if you guys weren't doing this, it would not be getting done, which is amazing, which speaking about amazing things getting done, I've been lucky enough to volunteer at your big Be Beautiful, Be Yourself fashion show, which to me is as close as you can get to the glitz and glamour of the Academy Awards as you can get. So how did you come up with this idea for this amazing event and envision it? And then, you know, it's now become the largest fundraiser for Down syndrome in the world. I mean, give us a little background on that.
Sure, absolutely. And if you don't mind, Jay, I'm going to segue because.
Please.
You know, part of it was Quincy Jones, right? You know, dear friend, iconic music. Icon,
legend.
Yeah. And good friends with my parents. And he fell in love with Sophia and he wanted to do something. So then the Quincy Jones Exceptional Advocacy Award was born, right? And with that idea, we also, you know, and this was actually my mom's idea with me, like, I wanted to put the paradox on its head. When I grew up, like, I'm an old lady now, right? I'm like going to be 57. It's like, oh my God. So, but when I was growing up, I didn't see people with Down syndrome. Like they weren't in my high school. I don't know where they put them. I didn't see anybody.
Yeah.
And I didn't even see a person in a wheelchair. And so, and then every image that I have from my childhood on TV or newspaper was like, you know, bad haircut, you know, not, you know, kind of thrift, not like clothes that clearly did not fit them properly. And just like a really bad image of a person with Down syndrome, you know, versus like a person with Down syndrome who is bathed and washed and has her hair done and has some makeup on and looks good, just like everybody else. Right. And So we wanted to put that paradigm on its head and, you know, really make the people with Down syndrome being beautiful, being themselves and the center of the attention. And we want to elevate them by putting them on the same kind of stratosphere with a celebrity. Right. Yeah. So that was kind of how it worked. One of the people who came to the table early was our first Quincy Jones Exceptional Advocacy Awardee, Deandra Dixon. And she, beautiful African-American woman with Down syndrome, so articulate. And her family just treated her like she was anybody. Like, hey, go out, you know, you do the dishes. Hey, you know, go to school with everybody else. Like, right. They really just treated her like, and it showed. And so, and she happens to be the little sister, the baby sister of Jamie Foxx. Mm-hmm. And tragically, you know, we knew that there was this disparity of lifespan in white people versus, you know, Black or African-American people. But we kind of didn't think it applied to her. I was really shocked when she died shortly after her 36th birthday. Mm. So the segue is that I literally just testified 2 weeks ago before the House Energy and Commerce Committee with Congresswoman Kathy McMorris Rogers, who is a huge mentor, friend, and champion of people with Down. She herself has a son, Cole, with Down syndrome. And she has put forth a bill, of course, with our wholehearted support and some input, the Deandra Dixon Include Project Act of 2024.
Awesome.
So we now have a bill that was just introduced 2 weeks ago that honors, I feel it honors two things, Deandra Dixon's legacy.
Right.
And then, of course, Kathy McMorris Rogers, the Congresswoman's legacy as well. And this would take our annual work. Every year we go and we work with Republicans and Democrats and people with Down syndrome bring them together. I'll just say that. They bring everybody together and we appropriate funds. And it's Congress who's giving the directive to NIH saying, you will increase Down syndrome funding through Include, you know, Down syndrome funding project every year by a minimum of so much. And, you know, we'll still have to do that work.
Yeah.
But when you have something authorized, it gives an umbrella and a longevity to that project.
Sure.
And this will give us five, and every 5 years it will get reauthorized, of course. What we need is everybody to call their and write their congressperson. Yep. And to make sure that when this comes to a vote, that we have the vote. So we've just started. I mean, actually, the biggest hurdle was like getting it introduced. Now we have the second biggest hurdle, which is then getting the co-sponsors, whatever. So we're working on that strategy. That's what I was working on all night. And we're trying to get all that organized this week and launch it next week. But, you know, it's just really an amazing thing. And so our fashion show does have, like, it's the largest in the world. Of course, you know, we have people like Jamie Foxx, Colin Farrell, Eva Longoria. You know, last year we had Rob
A-list
Lowe.
A-list of A-list,
Laura,
yeah.
Laura Linney is the most nicest human. I mean, so talented beyond words, but, like, the nicest human in the universe. And then we have our what we call our tribe, right? Like we have John C. McGinley, Katerina Scorsone,
right.
The Dylan brothers, you know, people who have relatives with Down syndrome, you know, who are amazing supporters as well. But, you know, it is an amazing night. You've been there. I mean, yeah. Like, right. And like people are constantly on their feet. Do you kind of feel like there were a lot of standing ovations during the night?
Oh my, I don't remember sitting.
Yeah. So if there's an electricity in the room that, you know, when we say a fashion show for Down syndrome, people are like, oh, that's quaint. It's not quaint. It's like, it's electric.
It's electric. That's
magical.
A great description.
Like, you know, it's beyond inspirational even.
Yeah.
There's something magic about the night, every night. And we're just super lucky that we have the best models. The models steal the show, right? The models with Down syndrome. And then the ambassador family is a development role. And so many, almost all of our ambassadors come back. We are so lucky. And this year, we have this beautiful, and actually they live in Cabo, but they're tied to a Colorado family. And we're just really lucky. And in fact, we have two ambassadors every year. So we have the Acceptability Gala in Washington, D.C. And then we have the Be Beautiful, Be Yourself fashion show in Colorado. And so That's where our ambassador families are both shining. And the Quincy Jones Awards we give to Republican and Democrat at the acceptability gala. And then on the Denver side for the fashion show, we give it to a person with Down syndrome who's done extraordinary things, and then to kind of either Hollywood or sports celebrity type. But it's really fun and
remarkable night.
You know, we gross about 2.5 million, you know, which is huge. And, you know, we spend the money very well, as hopefully everybody can see the results. Yeah. Yeah, we work our butts off and we've got the best people at our global at Cernic, at the C Center. These are really passionate, committed people. Dr. Espinosa is a genius, and you know, his team is amazing. Now, Dr. Fran Hickey is retiring from the C Center, so we're looking for who's that next. Those are challenges.
Next gen,
but we have some great candidates, so it's all looking very promising. But it's a lot of hard work. I mean,
you talk about you're doing advocacy, you're doing research, you're doing lobbying, basically. You're throwing these amazing events. I mean, going Mach 4 still after all these years. So what really is it that keeps you energized at this level?
Well, I think there are two things. You know, when I see my daughter, when I see all the people with Down syndrome families that we serve, that we have the privilege to serve, I'm really motivated.
Yeah.
To do more and better, because they bring us joy. We should allow them to be joyous throughout a healthy lifespan, right? And the other side of that coin is that, you know, these are the first generations of people with Down syndrome who are going to outlive their parents. And
wow.
You know, my mom would talk about this. It makes me almost cry because we just lost her, Anna C, who. Really, her and my dad are the reasons that, of course, I exist, but that global and all of this exists.
Right.
You know, she always said, like, when she closes her eyes on this world, she wants to know that Sophia is safe.
Mm-hmm.
She wants to know that she has a future where she's not going to be institutionalized or abused or worse, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, I kind of carry that burden from my mom. You know, like, I want that for myself and everybody who has a loved one with Down syndrome.
That is so awesome. So, you know, you guys have already achieved so much. And again, show no signs of slowing down. What big audacious goals are there out there that you're looking at and hope to achieve here?
Oh my goodness. Well, we did start the Global Inclusive Program at Regis University, which is the first post-secondary program for people with intellectual and developmental disabilities in a Jesuit university. And we're tied for first, or we're second, depending on how you look at it, for a Catholic one. One of the big audacious goals is, can we have some evidence-based research across maybe launching these programs across the Jesuit and eventually post-secondary, where we're aggregating, have a data coordinating center, and you know, rather than having all of these kind of individual programs and projects happening. So that's awesome. The other thing, if you think about the medical care, we have a Denver Health Pilot Adult Center. We would love for that to grow into something akin to our C Center for Children's Hospital at Children's Hospital Colorado, you know, where it's as big and robust. Right now it's once a week. It would be great to grow that into as big a thing. In terms of the research, I think, you know, we've already accomplished so much. I think really growing into our global name, we've got, of course, you know, on staff, we have got Kelly Sullivan, and we've got Angela, and we've got Matthew Galbraith, and all these wonderful young scientists coming up. And then across, we have Jonathan Centura at Children's Hospital Los Angeles. And then we have Nikki Bomber at Boston Children's. And we have Anna Espenson at Cincinnati. Right? How do we grow that, right? How do we do more clinical trials and grow that and have more institutions like the Cernic all over the U.S.?
Yeah.
Is kind of maybe the next challenge. Maybe if we could find a big donor, I always ask, like, didn't we give us $1 million today? somebody's going to see our work and like write us a big check. Wouldn't that be nice? Like, this is like my dream that someday we're going to just like, oh, he loves us. And, you know, if we could get a million or multi-million dollar donor and then start doing challenge grants, these kind of seed grants that NIH doesn't fund to get it started, wouldn't that be just the most amazing? And then internationally, we just started a Latin American network in six South American countries. Wow. So those are some of the other big audacious goals, plus a bistro downstairs, like where we hire people with Down syndrome. Just a few things. Aren't you glad you asked, Jay?
I love it. And I have no doubt you will accomplish them all. And I'm trying to be mindful of your time and so grateful. Yeah. So I always like to wrap these up with change the topic to the subject just a little bit. I call them my Fab Four. But after pulling an all-nighter, I'm not sure this one's fair. But if there's is there something that you will read, listen to, or watch today?
So read. Definitely, I'm going to be reading all of the drafts of our congressional letters.
A little light reading.
that we need to send and editing them. Two, I will probably be reading some of Cole's amazing Down Syndrome World. We also run the Down Syndrome World magazine, the quarterly magazine. Yeah. I'll be proofing some of her, their amazing articles.
Great
in
stuff.
In terms of watching, what am I going to watch? Maybe I will watch the last episode. It's been hanging out there. Occasionally, my husband and I watch TV, and it's, I don't know if I should say it, but we're watching on Netflix, Griselda. And
I love it.
It's the last episode. I don't know what happens. And I'm trying not to Google her life, so I don't know what's going to happen.
Is there somebody who's really been a role model for you in your professional life, especially with Global?
Yeah. Well, of course, my parents, right? In so many ways, they've inspired me. But, you know, I have a foundation of kind of strategic and work processes that goes back to the cable industry. You know, my dad, but Peter Barton, you know, I worked for him for, you know, almost 13 years. And of course, you know, without Bob Magnus and John Malone, my parents wouldn't have the nest egg that they were able to invest in all of our Down syndrome initiatives. But I think within the Down syndrome world, I think, you know, some of my mentors were lucky now to work with, you know, David Tolson at the NDSC embraced us and encouraged us to exist because not everybody did or does. They're just like, you know, they see new people as kind of interlopers rather than potential future collaborators. And so I think also all of the medical and research brilliant people, right? Dr. Espinosa and the board, you know, the Tom Checks, all these people who kind of guided us, Leslie Weinlein, Larry Gold, there's a host of people, Jenna Hausman at Children's Hospital, Rafe. I consider all of them my mentors and my friends.
Well, it's awesome. When you get to do the things that you guys are doing, there's got to be a long list, which is fantastic. So outside of Global, are there organizations out there that you really admired their work that you'd want to give a shout out to?
Yes. I have been privileged to be on the board of Arc Thrift and what Lloyd Lewis has done. You know, when we started, he started, it was like, once a long time ago, we gave maybe $2 million to the ARCs and we were running at a terrible deficit at the time. He had to turn everything around. And today we're giving $9 million or so to the ARCs. We've got tens of millions in investments, so many new stores. It's just been his leadership and the team he's built, which existed, you know, a lot of people who were there who then maybe reached their potential better with his structuring. And then the new people that he's brought in on board has been amazing. But we support, you know, Rocky Mountain Down Syndrome Association. We support Special Olympics. We support Easter Seals. We support the Colorado Down Syndrome, Colorado Springs Down Syndrome Association. I'm sure I'm forgetting some. in, you know, for IN exclamation mm-hmm. point. There's so many great fire foundation. Now's a new one. There are new ones coming up all the time. And we love them all. And, you know, we hope that people have capacity to support us all and, you know, kind of follow their heart and also their lived experience. Generally, people who have health issues may be more inclined to support us. People who have a kid who wants to go to Catholic university might be more involved with Fire Foundation.
Right. Well, lastly, and most importantly, if somebody wants to support Global, write you that $1 million check or get involved or learn more about your events or your research, what's the best way for them to do that?
Obviously, with the DeAndra Dixon Include bill coming up, we really want you to check with our website and, you know, contact your representative. That's huge. Another way to support us is World Down Syndrome Day is coming up. We're holding a huge party at Brewability. If you don't know Brewability, they're also a great organization.
Also awesome. Yep.
Yeah. So that's on the 22nd of March. But we're speaking at the UN. We're having this big event in Uganda. We're having a huge workshop with the Ministry of Health in Chile. We need funds for World Down Syndrome Day. We're global. So we're encouraging people to set up peer-to-peer web pages to then fundraise for us. And there's no donation that's too small for us. We love every donation. And then volunteer, right? And then, of course, if you have Down syndrome or you're a family member, use the medical guidelines. Take care of yourself. Be healthy. You're the best role model and ambassador that we have. So we want you healthy and living forever. And so please use the guidelines, whether they be the child guidelines or use our prenatal and newborn if you're a pregnant mom. So use those free resources and be healthy, live long. I feel like I'm a Star Trek ad or something.
Yeah. Well, I love it. And I love it that, you know, you talk about your event at the Brewability in the same breath, talking about speaking at the UN like they're equal, which is just so awesome. But Michelle, this has been wonderfully inspiring. I'm rooting you on. I hope you keep going. Can't wait to see where all this goes for you.
Thanks, Jay. You are awesome. And I feel very honored and privileged to be sitting here with you. So thank you.
Thanks for listening, and thanks to Michelle and the team at Global for having such an impact. This podcast was brought to you by JC Charity Services. Running a nonprofit is hard, and I'd love to bolster your efforts and help you thrive. You can find me at makingourworldbetter.com. To learn more about and support the Global Down Syndrome Foundation, visit globaldownsyndrome.org, email them at info@globaldownsyndrome.org, and follow their social media feeds. Check the show notes for links, and if you enjoyed this podcast, please leave a like and share it with a friend. Until next time, I hope you're inspired to find a way to make our world better.